All right, strap in, everyone. Today we are diving deep into a Supreme Court case. It's Massachusetts Board of Retirement v. Murguia.
Oh, yeah, Murguia.
This one still gets people talking today, all these years later.
Absolutely.
We're going to be talking about mandatory retirement ages.
Okay.
You sent over a ton of stuff for this one, legal briefs, analysis.
Right.
This is like you really want to get to the bottom of how age discrimination works in the legal world. So let's get to it.
Yeah, this case is a great example of how complicated it can get.
Okay, so let's set the scene here.
All right.
We have Robert Murguia.
Murguia, yeah.
He was a state trooper in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And by all accounts, a great officer.
Seems like it.
Totally dedicated, in great shape. But he hits the big 5-0. And just like that, the state tells him he has to turn in his badge. Game over.
Yeah, mandatory retirement.
It's like something out of a movie. No
yeah.
Second chances, no way to appeal, just you're done.
Well, he didn't take that lying down. He fought back, went to court, argued this mandatory retirement law was a violation of his rights, equal protection under the 14th Amendment.
Okay, makes sense.
And here's the thing, the lower courts were totally split on this one.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Some agreed with Murguia, some with the state. A real legal battle.
Wow, so this was far from simple.
Yeah. Definitely not black and white.
What was it about this case that kicked it all the way up to the Supreme Court?
The core question they had to answer was this. Does making police officers retire at a specific age, 50 in this case, violate that equal protection right? Is it even constitutional to draw a line like that just based on how old someone is, even if they can totally still do the job?
I bet our listeners are already guessing what happened because, well, mandatory retirement ages still exist,
mm-hmm.
like in a lot of jobs.
It's true.
So did the court rule in Murguia's favor?
They did not. Actually, they upheld the state's law about mandatory retirement, said it wasn't going against the Equal Protection Clause. Yeah, and this is where it gets really fascinating. It all comes down to how the court applied something called rational basis review.
Okay, rational basis review. Sounds simple enough, but I'm sure there's more to it than meets the eye. What's the deal with this?
All right, so think of it this way. Let's say the state has a goal, right? And the law they make is like a tool to reach that goal.
Okay, I'm with you.
Rational basis basically means the court is saying, as long as the state has a pretty decent reason for using this tool, we're not going to get all hung up on whether it's the best tool.
So it's not about the state proving it's the absolute most effective or fairest way, just that they have a reason that makes sense.
Exactly. In this case, in Murguia, the state wanted to make sure they had a police force that was physically fit to keep the public safe.
Mm-hmm.
And their tool to do that was setting that mandatory retirement age at 50.
Makes sense to want officers who can handle the demands, for sure.
Sure.
So did the court just take that reasoning at face value? No questions asked.
Well, they did say, and I'm quoting here, physical ability generally declines with age. So they saw this mandatory retirement as a kind of reasonable way to make sure officers could handle the job, even if it wasn't, you know, a perfect system.
Okay, so the court basically said, yeah, people get weaker as they age. That makes sense to us. Case closed.
In essence, yes. Though I think you'd agree that statement about physical decline is a bit broad, wouldn't you say?
Definitely raises some questions. I mean, couldn't you have officers over 50 who are in top shape, even more fit than some of the younger recruits? Did they not think about those individual differences at all?
That's an important point. And they did acknowledge that, said there might be officers over 50 who are still totally capable. But they also said that doing individual fitness tests for every single officer, that would be a nightmare, logistically.
I see. So it's a trade-off then, a blanket rule that's easier to manage versus something potentially fairer, but a lot more complicated to actually do.
That's exactly what they decided. They went with practicality over potentially being unfair to some individuals.
Okay, makes sense. But you said earlier the lower courts were split on this. So I'm guessing there were some strong arguments against this way of thinking, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We can't forget about Justice Thurgood Marshall. He wrote a very powerful dissent in this case. And it gets right to the heart of some fundamental issues with how the court handles this whole idea of equal protection.
All right, now this is getting interesting. Lay it on us. What did Justice Marshall have to say about all this?
So we know that the court in Murguia basically gave the state a lot of wiggle room with this rational basis review, decided they had a good enough reason for setting that mandatory retirement age for police officers.
Right, right.
But you bring up a great point. Mandatory retirement ages, they're not just for cops. It's pilots, doctors, even judges sometimes. So where does that leave everyone else?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Does Murgea mean that any profession can just pick a retirement age and say, that's it, you're out, and it's automatically okay constitutionally?
It's not quite that straightforward. What the court actually said was that when it comes to age, they're going to use this rational basis test, that lower level of scrutiny.
So going back to your analogy from before, the state still has to have a decent reason for using age as their tool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it can't just be any reason. It has to actually connect to whatever goal they're trying to reach.
Exactly. They can't just discriminate based on age just because. But like we talked about, the bar's pretty low. It's not about proving it's the absolute best way to do things, just that it's, you know, rational, even if there might be other ways that are more fair.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm starting to see how this could apply in other jobs, like pilots. There's always the concern about reaction time, or maybe their vision getting worse as they get older. Seems like that could pass this rational basis test, even if some pilots over that age limit are still totally fine.
Yeah, could be. But what about those jobs where physical ability isn't really the main thing? Like judges, for example. You could argue that judges, they actually get better with age. More wise, more experienced. So does Murgea apply there too?
That's a great question. Would the same logic hold up?
Well, that's where things get even more complicated. This whole rational basis test, it's flexible, maybe a little too flexible. It can be applied differently depending on what the job is, what arguments are being made.
So even though Murgea set a precedent, there's still room to fight age limits in other professions. Depends on the situation, I guess.
For sure. And here's something else to think about. Murgea happened back in 1976.
A while ago.
Our ideas about aging, what people can do at different ages, all that's changed a lot since then.
That's true. We know way more now about how aging works. It's different for everyone. Lifestyle matters. And experience can often make up for those changes that come with age.
Absolutely. Plus, there's all the advances in medicine and tech, helping people stay healthy and active for longer. So, Murgea is important, but it's not the be-all and end-all when it comes to age and the law.
It makes you wonder, if the same case went before the court today, with all the new knowledge and how society views aging differently, would the outcome be the same?
That's the million-dollar question. No way to know for sure, but it's worth considering. It shows that the law isn't stuck in time. It's always changing.
So even big cases like Murgea, their interpretation can change, even get overturned as we learn and grow as a society.
Precisely. Law is a living thing, always adapting to new realities.
This has really opened my eyes to how complicated age discrimination is. We've talked about the Constitution and all that. But what about other legal protections for older workers? What about like the Age Discrimination in Employment Act, the ADA? Does that factor into all this?
Great question, and an important distinction to make. That ADA, that's a federal law. It's not from the Constitution like the 14th Amendment. Congress passed it specifically to stop age discrimination when it comes to jobs. And it covers a lot more workplaces than Murgea, including private companies.
So even if a state could justify a mandatory retirement age using this rational basis thing, they could still be breaking the ADA.
Exactly. The ADA, it sets a much higher standard for employers when they make decisions about age. It doesn't completely ban age discrimination, but it makes it way harder to discriminate against workers over 40.
Wow, we could do a whole other deep dive just on the ADA and all the details.
For sure. The ADA is its own world, its own precedence, and there's still debate about how far it reaches and how effective it is. But it's a big piece of the puzzle when you're talking about protecting older workers.
So even though Murgea didn't win his case based on the Constitution, there might be other legal ways to fight age discrimination, depending on the specifics.
You got it. The ADEA, maybe some state and local laws too, they can all offer extra protection. Law is not just one straight line. It branches out in all sorts of directions. Different legal frameworks, they all interact in ways that can get pretty complex.
Sounds like you really have to understand how those pieces fit together if you're dealing with this stuff.
Absolutely. You need a solid understanding of what the law actually says and what tools are available to you. But there's one more super important aspect of Murgea we need to talk about. It's how Justice Marshall's dissent, the one we talked about earlier, it actually paved the way for future legal battles in areas you might not expect, things like LGBTQ plus rights, gender equality, all that.
Whoa, okay, now that's a twist. Tell me more about that.
We'll dive into all of that in part three of our deep dive. The legacy of Mergia and how it shaped what came next is a story you won't want to miss.
Okay, we're back and ready to wrap up our deep dive on Massachusetts Board of Retirement v. Mergia. We've covered the facts of the case, what the majority opinion said, that whole rational basis test, and of course, Justice Marshall's dissent, which was really powerful.
Powerful dissent, for sure.
But now I'm really curious about something you said. How did his arguments in a case about age discrimination end up influencing legal battles for things like LGBTQ plus rights and gender equality?
It's pretty amazing how legal arguments, they can have this ripple effect. And Marshall's dissent is like the perfect example. Remember, he wasn't just disagreeing with what the court decided in that specific case.
Right.
He was taking on the whole framework they were using, that rigid two-tier system, strict scrutiny versus rational basis review. He thought that approach, it was way too inflexible. Didn't do enough to protect certain rights, like the right to work, for example.
And like we discussed earlier, that rational basis standard, it's a pretty low bar to clear. So I can see how using that limited level of scrutiny could lead to upholding other laws that are discriminatory, not just ones about age.
Exactly. And that's what happened. Marshall's argument that the court needed to be more nuanced when looking at equal protection claims, it really resonated. It went way beyond just age discrimination cases. You had legal scholars, advocates fighting for equality in all these different areas. They saw how strong his arguments were. They realized that using this rigid two-tier system, it could actually be used to justify all kinds of discrimination based on a whole range of things, not just age.
So even though Mergia was specifically about a state trooper forced to retire, it ended up sparking a much bigger conversation about how courts should analyze any kind of discrimination.
Exactly. His dissent gave them a framework to challenge laws that relied on broad generalizations or stereotypes to try and justify treating people differently. It really helped lay the foundation for arguments against discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, all those characteristics that have historically faced so much prejudice and bias.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. To think a single case about a state trooper could have these wide-reaching consequences shows how connected everything is in law, right?
It does. Principles from one area can totally influence how people think about the law in other areas.
It's also a reminder that what we consider settled law, those precedents, they're not really set in stone. They're constantly being reinterpreted, built upon. And Marshall's dissent shows how one strong voice can really plant the seeds for change down the line.
It really does.
We started this deep dive talking about mandatory retirement ages. And we ended up exploring all this other stuff too, how equal protection law has evolved, the ADEA, and how much impact a single dissenting opinion can have. Quite a journey.
It really shows that law isn't just about rules on paper. It's about people, fairness, and this constant fight for a more just society. I think our listener who brought us this case, they've got a lot to think about.
I think so too. We covered the ins and outs of age discrimination, those potential problems with rational basis review, and the extra protection that laws like the ADEA can give. It's complicated, that's for sure, but hopefully we've made it a little bit clearer how it all fits together.
And maybe even inspired them to think about how they can help make the legal system better, one that protects everyone's rights, no matter how old they are or anything else about them.
This whole conversation has been really eye-opening. A good reminder to always question assumptions, to keep learning, and to keep working towards a better world. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.